Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading. I am not planning to wrap it for you. Today we are going to be focusing on that passage. The story of the prophet Elijah who comes across the widow in a town called Zarephath. And it's a remarkable story for lots of reasons, but I think one of the reasons is that we see that this widow was called to give everything that she had. And I think we've all been in those kinds of situations where we felt like, you know, we've been asked to give the Lord everything that we have, and yet so often we fail to be able to do that. And so today we can really focus, and every day we can really focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who really did give up everything that he had for us. He was willing to do what you and I are unable and so oftentimes unwilling to do. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever been completely spent, exhausted, drained and fatigued to the point where there was just nothing left in the tank, where literally the only thing that you could do is rest so that you could somehow recharge and function as a regular human being again? Have you had moments like this? I think we've all kind of been there from time to time. Maybe for some of you, those moments came at some point this week. You know, we've all been dealing with this time change, right? And we're all kind of feeling a little bit more tired than we have been because we're getting up at weird times, right? Our bodies aren't used to waking up when they're supposed to wake up. If you're raising little kids like we are in our household, man, the time change does not help you, does it? Yesterday, Zach woke up at 4:30 in the morning on a Saturday. I mean, I love that kid, but sometimes, you know? And then you get to the end of the day, and it's dark at like 5 o'clock, and, you know, it's cold out. And I don't know about you, but I've just been having a hard time keeping my eyes open lately. And I feel like sometimes that's just our body's natural way of telling us, so you just need to stop and get some rest. I think God gives us those moments from time to time to just, if we're not going to stop or slow down on our own, sometimes he just kind of forces us to do that. You can only run on adrenaline for so long, right? And eventually, you crash. And by the way, talking about this in a spiritual way, that's why it's a really good reason for us to be here today. To be gathered together in God's sanctuary. We're remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We're receiving that spiritual rest. We're gathering together and receiving God's word, and we're leaving all of that real exhausting stuff out in the world for just a few moments and simply focusing on our recharging in our spirit. And speaking of exhausting things, as I mentioned before, today's also a special day because today our country is remembering and celebrating the fact that World War I ended exactly 100 years ago. Right? So on the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, that was the Great Armistice, and the Great War finally came to an end some 52 long months after the fighting began. One of the most exhausting wars in all of world history. And I know that none of us were there, you know, on the day of the armistice. I think there's only one member of our congregation who was even alive 100 years ago, and I don't think she's here with us today. But, you know, so even though we weren't there, I'm sure you've had moments where you've kind of thought about what that must have been like, the kind of relief that must have come to the whole world after what had seemed so hopeless for so long finally came to an end. And I'm no history buff by any means, but I remember when I was back in high school, one of our teachers made us read for summer reading. We had to read All Quiet on the Western Front. And some of you have probably read that book before. That was probably the first time I ever really interacted with any of World War I's history. And I just remember, you know, if you've read that book, you know it does a great job of just describing the hopelessness that people were feeling, especially the soldiers, toward the end of that war. And just, I remember things that they just kind of stick in my mind, images from reading that book, you know, the horror of trench warfare and the fact that the whole thing just kind of felt like a really long stalemate, you know. People, they were fighting over these tiny patches of land, like maybe like a football field long, and you'd gain some ground and then you'd lose that ground. It just kind of seemed like it went on forever. And you'd do the same thing over and over and over again. And so it's just an overwhelming sense of futility that you feel when you read about World War I. And then to have it all come to an end on that great day of the armistice. And so it's definitely appropriate for us today, 100 years later, to be gathering together and thanking God for all of these soldiers who gave such great sacrifices, for all the men and women of the military who have given their lives, and those who are willing to give their lives for freedom in this country. This is a wonderful thing for us to be gathering around today. Our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 17 does a really great job of pulling out some of those themes too, of exhaustion and futility, right? And it comes here in the form of this famous story involving the prophet Elijah. And I'm going to include a few of the details that come before this passage just so that we get the full effect of the story. But in the very beginning of chapter 17, Elijah actually makes this great prophecy, this great prediction. He says that the whole area, that land of Israel, is going to experience a terrible drought. And as soon as he finishes making that proclamation, he goes into hiding because King Ahab is going to look for someone to blame, and he's probably going to blame Elijah. So Elijah makes this proclamation, there's going to be a terrible drought. He runs away to the wilderness, and he's there by a brook. So he's got plenty for himself to drink, and the Lord actually helps him out too by sending some ravens that are carrying food for him to eat. So Elijah's got everything that he needs out there in the wilderness, and that kind of goes on for a few years. But eventually, the drought is so bad that the brook actually dries up. So Elijah needs to go somewhere else if he's going to survive. And that's where the Lord, in this passage, sends Elijah to this little town called Zarephath. And when Elijah gets to Zarephath, that's where he meets this widow. And he asks this woman for not only a cup of water, but he also asks her for some bread. Now, you might know that widows back in Bible times were generally kind of poor, right? They couldn't really provide for themselves, and everything that widows had was pretty much provided for them from someone else. And on top of that, this particular widow has a couple other things going against her. It says in verse 12 that she's raising a son, so she still has this child at home that she needs to provide for in addition to herself. Plus the drought, right? The drought has been so bad, nobody's really had anything extra to share with her. So by the time you get to this passage where Elijah comes up to her and says, hey, give me some water, give me something to eat, I mean, you can just imagine the kind of exhaustion and frustration she must have felt when she was hearing this request. I hardly have anything for myself, and now I'm supposed to give something to you too? Right? And actually, you don't even have to hear the tone of her voice. You can just read right here what she said. She said, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Right? So these are not the words of a woman who is filled with all kinds of hope that everything's just going to kind of work out and everything's going to be okay in the end. I mean, she is feeling that exhaustion and that despair over her situation in this moment. But then look at how Elijah responds to her. First he tells her, do not fear. And then he goes on to say later, he says, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And this poor, tired woman believed those words. She believed the words of God that were being spoken through his prophet Elijah. This woman, who was completely spent, believed that the oil and the flour wouldn't be spent. And so because of this faith that she had, she ended up being filled over the brim, right? And not just because she all of a sudden had enough food to eat, but it was more than that. It was because the Holy Spirit refreshed her soul, right? So that at the very moment where she was so spiritually exhausted that she wanted nothing else than to just die and get it all over with, the Holy Spirit comes to her in that moment and strengthens her faith. Now, you and I have some things in common with spent widows and with exhausted World War I soldiers. As you take a look at the world around you and you see how many people are wandering around through life like it's a spiritual wilderness, like it's a wasteland, like it's a no man's land, to borrow some World War I terminology. So many people are hurting and broken. So many people are carrying these heavy burdens of stress and anxiety on their backs, right? And they feel like they just can't catch a break. And sometimes, even when you get to that point where you feel like you just can't take any more, that's when the pressure gets turned up even more, isn't it? That's when you feel like the worst things come to happen. You hear about some terrible diagnosis, some sickness that you or a loved one has that can't be cured, or that's when the house gets broken into, or that's when the car runs out of gas on the side of the road, or that's when you hear about friends that are getting divorced. That's when you hear that your daughter has just suffered a miscarriage, right? In those moments, that's when all of a sudden all you want to do is just go and gather some sticks and make your last meal and die already, just like the widow in our story. And the truth is that it's not just non-Christians that experience these things, right? I'm talking about things that we Christians experience all the time. I'm not just talking about those people out there, right? We know spiritual warfare is real. We are veterans of those battles. We know what it's like to get to our breaking point. But the good news is, so does Jesus. So our Lord and Savior bravely crossed enemy lines when he left his throne in heaven and entered into this world full of pain and suffering and sin. And even during that relatively short time he spent here among us on earth, and especially during those 3 years or so of his earthly ministry, Jesus experienced the full range of human suffering. He dealt with pain, he dealt with sickness, he dealt with poverty, he dealt with injustice, and yes, he even dealt with death. At just the right time, Jesus bravely leaps over the trench and all of a sudden is hit with a barrage of the world's machine gun fire in the form of a betrayal and a false trial and a beating and ultimately, finally, his crucifixion. Jesus was spent. Jesus was exhausted. Jesus was poured out so that you and I could be filled up, so that we could have our cups overflowing, so that we wouldn't get to the point where we just want to give up and die, but actually the opposite, so that we would have the hope of living forever. And so it's that hope that allows us to go forward. It's that hope that allows us to continue to fight the good fight and to march forward into the Lord's battle. In just a few moments, we're going to be witnessing the confirmations for 3 of us over here to my right, and baptism for 1 of us. More soldiers entering into the Lord's battle with us, wearing the same spiritual armor that we wear, fighting under the same banner. This is what the church continues to do, not just here in Hoyleton, but throughout the world, marching forward until the day of that final great armistice day, when the Lord returns and all war ceases forever and ever. Can you imagine the joy and the relief that we will experience on that day? To be able to finally lay down our weapons once and for all and to simply rest in the arms of Christ for all eternity. My friends, fellow Christian soldiers, may the hope of that day fill you up, even on days when you feel like you're empty, because the love and grace and mercy of God will never run out for you. It will never be completely spent. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.